My name is Mel Basil. I'm both Gixan and Wet'suwet'en. I'm born and I belong to the clan of Lac-Qabu, which is the wolf clan with the Gixan. But here in Wet'suwet'en territory, they consider me G'dayim, which is the bear clan. I'm affiliated with a number of groups. First and foremost, I'm a father. I'm a family man. I'm grassroots. I belong to the land. This is where I belong. I'm also a berry picker, a hunter, and I really respect the earth. So I'm a person of the earth. But in terms of groups, we reawakened our warrior society called the Xleilanglian, which means we are guarding it. We loosely translate it to the guardians. So we're guarding our people, we're guarding ourselves, we're guarding our villages, our trails, our territories, and especially our relationship to the land and our relationship to the water. I also belong to a support group that is supporting the Unist'ot'en camp, and we're here at Unist'ot'en camp. And when I first got involved in a lot of this, I've already been well on my way into critiquing knowledge, critiquing systems, and confronting them as an activist, as a sovereigntist. And I did a lot of that on my own prior to being involved as Xleilanglian and as a supporter to Unist'ot'en camp. So I bring that experience here. But as a sovereigntist and as a critique of systems and colonization, I don't acknowledge that this is Canada. I do not belong to any nation states. I am not Canadian. I never have been. I've always been Gixan and Wet'suwet'en, and we're distinct. I'm also affiliated with a group called Defenders of the Land, and the Defenders of the Land are a group of scholars and lawyers. And although I'm not a scholar anymore, I've actually abandoned my education. I've abandoned being a student in university. I'm now a student of the earth. I'm learning from the earth. And so what I bring to Defenders of the Land is just that grounding quality, because I don't have my head into the systems so deeply, thinking I can work within the system. I'm not critiquing Defenders of the Land. They're a good group. So that's who I am.
So we're here at the Unist'ot'en Action Camp on sovereign Wet'suwet'en territory. Of course, people here have been engaged in a long-standing battle against oil and natural gas pipelines. So can you just walk us through a little bit of the history and the trajectory of that battle? Maybe start by talking a little bit about the pipeline proposals through this territory.
Thank you. Yes, pipelines are proposed by seven companies. And there's a number of other companies just north of us proposing to cross through Gixan and Tsimshian lands as well. So they're planning to go to Prince Rupert in a expanding port in Tsimshian territory. And here, there are seven companies proposing to cross this direction, three of which propose to transport dirty bitumen and condensate from the tar sands projects, whether they be in situ or SAGD or strip mining tar sands. And there's also four other companies proposing to transport large volumes of liquefied natural gas from hydraulic fracturing projects in the Montney Fort St. John area and in the Horn River Basin near Fort Nelson. And so in those territories, those peoples are suffering from decimated water. They have no clean drinking water left in their territories. All of their right to clean drinking water is delivered to them by truck. They allowed their responsibility to clean drinking water that already exists in their territories to be diminished. And in place of that, now they have the right of clean water being delivered to them. So that's why, in solidarity, we are seeking to find strengthening pathways in our sovereignty on these lands. And why it comes to sovereignty first is there's many other industries seeking to destroy our lands in an increasingly alarming pace and scale that our communities cannot adjust to. industry back in the day had a pace and scale we could adjust to, and that has gone, come and gone. Mega empires that have been built by multinationals seek pipelines, they seek mega projects, they seek giga projects to sustain civilization. And so pipelines are part of that. They're part of what is called the Pacific Gateway. It's related to the Plan du Nord. It's a mirror image of the Plan du Nord in Quebec. And colonial systems pushing the agenda of these economic systems, these economic plans, including pipelines in all directions from the tar sands and hydraulic fracturing projects. These economic plans must be resisted with direct action and escalating actions to really truly stop destruction and decimating waters. So pipelines, the seven pipeline companies that chose our pathway, we have two angles that we're looking at, that these companies really truly plan to build pipelines on our territories. But they picked a very, very pristine and beautiful area to cross with pipelines. And so my other theory is that they chose this beautiful place to destroy so that it will actually be a given that there will be heavy resistance. And they want that, is my theory, that they actually plan to back off after acquiring systems tenure to lands so that they can create carbon offsets, biological offsets, and boreal offsets on this massive right-of-way for seven pipelines that they're calling the Energy Corridor. And it has been retermed by Damon Gillis, the carbon corridor. And so we are awake to pipelines and pipeline-related issues. And we heavily researched everything and critiqued everything. We confronted it. And in place of that, what we are doing here is we're recreating what is ours, what is of our design. And that is our true, true ways, which is following our mothers, following our grandmothers, learning from them how to live on our planet, because that is our law. And asserting our laws is also asserting our responsibilities. So that's why everything we're doing against these pipelines is all responsibilities-based. None of it is rights-based. We're not chasing after rights, because rights are being diminished as we speak worldwide. And so pipelines has become a conduit for us to bring that voice of asserting our sovereignty to stop pipelines. But, you know, our people have been speaking of our sovereignty for a long time. We've been asserting our sovereignty for a long time. And so it feels like it's push come to shove now. You know, push comes to shove. We have murdered and missing women across the Turtle Island, and our children are being removed from our homes. And we keep being expected to abide by Canadian law. And Canadian law is a corporation. It is not a country. And so pipelines have been a representation of the empire building that is ongoing. And so we're in solidarity also with those who are fighting climate change and educating the world about climate change and how it impacts peoples on the shores, people in the islands, where their food sources are being reduced really heavily by oil spills, climate change, rising tides. And so in solidarity, because we know that these unconventional petroleum products like tar sands bitumen and hydraulic shale and gas are 80% higher in carbon than conventional fuels. And they're conducting energy cannibalism to extract these unconventional fuels. And so it doesn't make any sense. It is all completely backwards thinking. Whether it's offsets or pipelines or tar sands, it goes against all of nature's laws.
And so in terms of the action that's already happened up here, I believe there's been surveyors already, workers from Enbridge and the Pacific Trails pipeline, if I'm not mistaken, who've been up here. So can you tell me a little bit about what kind of action has been already taken against pipeline workers here?
The Unistoten, they are the original Wet'suwet'en, and all of Wet'suwet'en territories that is known was once all Unist'ot'en land. And along came later on the introduction of the clan systems in our feast structures. And our feasts are our abahlats, is our governance structures. All of our governing on our lands and our peoples comes from the feasts. And the Unist'ot'en have shared lands with other clans now. And so five clans now exist in Wet'suwet'en territory. Along came colonialism and rights-based interventions like building treaties, you know, ceding lands so that Canada can enjoy certainty and confederacy to control lands and power over the people and power over the lands and destroy everything. And so in response to that, the Unist'ot'en have had enough. They stepped off the treaty table. And what that has done is they have taken direct action in terms of asserting themselves from the land, not from a boardroom table. Asserting their laws from the land by reoccupying it on their territory and placing a cabin directly on the path of Enbridge's right-of-way that they proposed for the Northern Gateway project, but also asserting themselves by producing a free, prior, and informed consent protocol. Rather than awaiting Canada to implement free, prior, and informed consent in its dealings with Indigenous peoples, it must be interpreted by the Indigenous peoples and delivered by the Indigenous peoples. Otherwise, it isn't actually being implemented based on free, prior, and informed consent. It's yet another dictation from a colonial state telling Indigenous peoples how to live. And so we devised the protocol as a living process. So it's not coming from a boardroom table. It's not coming from institution. It's not a policy paper. It is a living process. And it revisits an ancient protocol that has always existed. And so it's not born out of the United Nations. We use the language of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples because it's the language that systems will look at. But it is an ancient protocol that our warriors have always conducted with peoples seeking access to lands, whether they were expected or invited as guests, or if they were newcomers seeking a pathway to cross our lands, or even to come here and share information. And the Free, Prior, and Informed Consent Protocol is similar to the blockades, but you know, people get through. People who come here with their hearts open to sovereignty of the people and understanding that you don't need a passport, because a passport represents a right to movement, and we don't believe in rights. And so people have a responsibility to themselves while they're on our lands. And so the Unist'ot'en accepted this process, and the pipeline companies, survey companies seeking access to these lands, even NGOs, certain NGOs that seek to compromise and underplay our voice, really just accessing our photo ops, you know, I got a photo with the native people, you know, so we're doing our work with them, and then not really working with us. Those NGOs also failed these free, prior, and informed consent protocols. And so they were they did not gain access to the lands. Tagastai and Frida reported to us that helicopters were sneaking surveyors in, and they chased them out by snowshoe. They're chasing helicopters on snowshoes and on snowmobiles. And the sovereignty of the people must be asserted from the land. It does not belong on any boardroom tables. So we encourage Native nations all across Turtle Island, even throughout the world, Indigenous peoples, to not wait for colonial states to implement free, prior, and informed consent articles in the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Do not wait for colonial states to tell you how to allow them on your lands. Do it yourself. Interpret it how your warriors have done that in the past. How did your warriors turn people away in the past? How did you intervene when trespassers were on the lands? So Tagastai in 2009, on August 24th, in a town hall meeting in the colonial town of Smithers, BC, the Enbridge Inc. representatives that were claiming to report on their cleanup issues in Kalamazoo River, trying to educate the community that there will still promise safety, safe passage of dirty bitumen through our territories. They they were invited by the town hall in Smithers to represent their cleanup efforts, their cleanup lives. And after they gave their presentation, Tagastai and I interrupted their meeting and sang the war song to them, claiming that they're conducting a war against us and against nature. And in our war song, the war song teaches that, why did it have to come to this far? Why did we not talk properly, based on our laws, to prevent war? And that war is being held against our people. Our murdered and missing women are a testament to that. And same with the children being removed from our homes. And, you know, all of these Canadian laws being imposed upon our people, band offices, treaty centers, tribal councils, all of which are pledging allegiance to the Queen, not to our people, not to the lands. Grassroots people from settler communities have also supported these actions by coming and sharing their skills, sharing their responsibilities to our peoples while on our lands, and while on our lands also abiding by their laws. These are the actions that are really, really important to us. We didn't just march down the streets, we did that too. But that was just confronting the system. Afterward, we must create. Critique, confront, create. It's something I learned. We must go beyond pure activism. We must assert sovereignty as well. And to do that, we had to follow our dreams, because things came back to us in our dreams and through our stories and our songs. And the actions against pipelines is just a small tip of the iceberg. Because in terms of future generations, the younger people witnessing our actions, they will be adept at conducting those actions. We don't have to teach them in a school how to conduct these actions. They're watching us do it right now. So it's a cultural resistance being built here as well, because there's also big mining companies seeking pathways through our territories. There's NGOs looking to dupe our leaders into following false solutions in carbon offsetting, biological offsetting, and boreal offsetting, and also other false solutions like the Canadian Boreal Forest Agreement. We took a stand against the Canadian Boreal Forest Agreement. We spoke out against it. We looked at how it is infiltrating grassroots communities. We looked at how it's infiltrating free, prior, informed consent. It's because systems and empires fall and nature grows, we follow the laws of nature. Hmm.